You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks, joined by my co-host, Nick Lee. Glad to have you listening in for our Blue Friday show. We've got a jam-packed show coming your way, including some big roster news that hit right after we finished recording our Thursday episode. There was a lot of activity for the Seahawks in the last 24 hours. Looking forward to breaking that down here on our Friday episode. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. 3 weeks after being released as a cap casualty, Carlos Dunlap has found his way back to the Seahawks. This was the dream scenario for diehard 12s. They were hoping all along that Carlos Dunlap was going to find his way back to Seattle after being so productive during the second half for the team. He was acquired from the Bengals for a seventh-round pick and reserve center B.J. Finney. All he did in his eight regular season games after the trade was produced 5 sacks and 14 quarterback hits. Nick, as you and I know, really though, the biggest difference that he made was bringing out the best in the rest of their pass rush. They led the NFL in sacks from week 9 on, and the big reason why was because of the presence of Carlos Dunlap.
Yeah, when you look in the dictionary, the phrase injection of life, it's Carlos Dunlap to the 2020 Seahawks defense. He was a revelation. I mean, you bring a guy who's the franchise leader in sacks for the Cincinnati Bengals. So you think, okay, maybe he's, you know, got a little mileage on the tires, which is true to an extent, but still playing at such a high level, 5 sacks in 8 games, which just for your information is as much as JJ Watt had in 16 games last year. More than Cameron Hayward had in Pittsburgh. Preston Smith in Green Bay, more than that. More than any other Seahawk had in 2019. He had more pressures than Frank Clark, Chase Young, and Jason Pierre-Paul. Now he's coming back to the Seahawks cheaper than all three of those guys I just mentioned. Still playing like an above-average pass rusher at 32 years old. And essentially, like you mentioned with what he did when he came to Seattle, he also kind of had 2 game-clinching sacks. So honestly, one of the best trades Seattle has done in a long time, and it paid off once again with his re-signing on a cheaper deal. So, yeah, I think that's about a $6 million or so difference on the cap hit when you bring him back. And with the other news of Jarran Reed, that doesn't take much of a hit. But really, just an all-around good guy, great locker room. You could clearly tell that he enjoys Seattle. His tweet about year 12 with the 12s, and you know, he's just loving that. And you'd like to think that hopefully at least a limited number of fans, or hopefully a lot of fans, will be able to see him in person in 2021. And it just seems like this is a good fit for him as his career starts to wane a bit, but still playing at a very high level. And all of a sudden, the Seahawks have a good, solid pass rushing unit.
Yeah, you look at the players they now have on that front line, even with Jarran Reed being out the door. We still at this point don't know if he's being released or traded, but all signs are pointing to him leaving. He even tweeted goodbye to the 12s yesterday. So he's going to be moving on one way or another. But even without him, you just signed Kerry Hyder, who had 8.5 sacks last year. He's had two seasons in his career with 8 or more sacks. You've got Daryl Taylor coming back from his leg injury. They're still very excited about him. Alton Robinson had 4 sacks last year, played well with his opportunities. Benson Mayoa had 6, really came on strong after Dunlap was signed. So now they can kind of be a Batman and Robin combination at the Leo position. It gives them a lot of flexibility. And really, the biggest reason that I love this signing, not just because I think Dunlap is still a very good player, but if you wouldn't have re-signed him, even with Mayoa being there, Mayoa has proven that he's a very good rotational rusher, but he's not really a starter in this league. He's proven that now at this point in his career. You would have been put in a corner where maybe you're putting too much pressure on Daryl Taylor, especially given the fact he missed all of last year. Now you don't have that issue. You can wean him into your rotation, and if he starts making big plays, then we might be having a different discussion going into 2022 about what's going to be happening with Carlos Dunlap. It might be the Daryl Taylor show at that point. We don't know. But this gives you the insurance of a proven veteran that is still playing at a high level, is going to make everyone else around him perform better. And so You look at the cap hit. You mentioned this. With it being a two-year deal up to $16.6 million, he was set to have a $14 million cap hit for this year alone before they cut him. You're saving around $6 million right there on your cap hit. And the cap hit might be lower than $8 million. We don't know all those details yet. But nonetheless, the Seahawks getting him back at the price they were willing to pay, that's what they were hoping for all along. And an edge rusher is more valuable than a defensive tackle in this league. That's plain and simple the story here. And so while Jaron Reed's a good player, and I know the Seahawks really didn't want to move on from him, it's understandable if they had to pick and choose between the two that they would go with the edge rusher in this instance, especially with the bodies that they still have at defensive tackle. That's what made Reed expendable at this point.
And honestly, I think that at that position that Jaron Reed is, or the, you know, the more athletic inside interior defensive line, I think that's a more replaceable position. I think that, or it may, if not replaceable, at least you can cover up that void a bit more than lacking on the defensive ends, Leo, and the pass rushing. I think that if you lack in that department, a lot of other problems open up. And so you mentioned adding Kerry Hyder, Benson Mayoa, and Carlos Dunlap. That's 20 and a half sacks in 2020. Mm-hmm. That'll work.
With Jamal Adams too.
And Jamal Adams in there, that's 30 sacks. Dang it. That's a ton of sacks. I believe that's more than the Seahawks had in 2019 right there, just with those four guys. And like you mentioned, Daryl Taylor could be. I mean, we forget he was the best pass rusher in the SEC in 2019. So, you know, he's uber talented. And if he can get healthy and play up to his draft billing, they're going to have all of a sudden these Seahawks who have been so desperate for pass rushing, defense wasn't so great for most of last year. They're going to all of a sudden have an embarrassment of riches at defensive end or and Leo and in the pass rushing on the edges of the defense in 2021 if a few more things pan out than just these couple signings.
And you look at that defensive tackle group, I'm with you. I don't know if replaceable is the right word, but you look at what they still have. They just extended Puna Ford. They have Brian Monet to be their nose tackle, fill that Al Woods role, or Tony McDaniel, some of the guys they've had at that position in the past. He's a younger player that's still improving quite a bit. So they're excited about him. He's going to be cheap for a couple more years. And then you've got Cedric Lattimore, their undrafted rookie a year ago out of Iowa that played so well in his playoff debut. That was the first NFL action that he had seen. They didn't have preseason games. The organization has some optimism that he may be a player that can step up. LJ Collier and Kerry Hyder can both play inside. Rasheem Green can as well. They could add a player in the draft as well, or undrafted. I just mentioned three names of undrafted players that are expected to be contributors there. That means Clint Hurt is getting the job done, and the coaching staff may have confidence that he can do it again with Jaron Reed now being on another team, no longer in Seattle. And so they're rolling the dice a little bit there, but we knew there were going to be tough decisions that had to be made with Seattle's cap situation, the lack of resources. And ultimately, they decided to move on from Jaron Reed when the right deal presented itself to bring back Carlos Dunlap. Again, edge rushers outweigh interior defenders. And so, to me, they made the right move. It was a difficult one, but they made the right choice. And now Seahawk fans, as you mentioned, the 12s may finally get to enjoy Dunlap. And he can maybe experience Lumen Field the way that it's meant to be enjoyed, with ruckus fans out there just screaming their lungs off. And that makes life a lot easier for pass rushers in Seattle. So he'll get to enjoy that, hopefully, when we get to the fall and regular season football returns. When we come back in the second quarter, we've got 1 week of free agency in the books. It's time for a roster reset. The Seahawks have made a lot of moves, especially as we've broken down here on the show the last 48 hours. They've made a number of signings and key moves to upgrade their roster. So we're going to take a look at the offense first in the second quarter, which positions the Seahawks are set and which positions they still may need to make a move or two before the 2021 season. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Blue Friday edition. I'm your host, Corbin Smith, joined by Nick Lee. We're covering everything you need to know about the Seahawks, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski. It's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. Nick, we are now officially 1 week into free agency and the new league year. There's been a lot of activity. Early this week, though, it seemed like things were kind of slowing to a lull league-wide. There weren't a lot of signings, trades, releases. Teams were pretty quiet. And then here in the last 24 to 48 hours, especially for the Seahawks, things have escalated quickly, as Ron Burgundy once said. Things got out of hand a little bit here. But the Seahawks made a number of big moves over the last 48 hours, adding some players to their roster. Of course, the decision to either trade or release Jaron Reed. One way or another, he's not going to be playing for the Seahawks in 2021. So we're going to do a roster reset here, just kind of looking at where the roster stands on both sides of the football. There's a lot of offseason left, plenty of good free agents out there, and of course the draft coming up the end of April, where Seattle can continue to plug up holes and fill up their roster going into the 2021 season. Let's start on offense, the positions where the Seahawks should be set. I know there's been a lot of drama around Russell Wilson and not restructuring his contract to this point, at least in my opinion, is a little bit alarming for the long-term future, because if you were really committed and you think that you've got this situation figured out, I would be getting that $11 million plus opened up in cap space so I can build around my star quarterback. That could still happen, though. I think at least for the time being, for 2021, they're in good hands with Russell Wilson. They just got to figure out who his backup is going to be. Maybe Geno Smith comes back. Maybe they draft a quarterback. But I think you and I can both agree, at least for this season, that Russell Wilson, the drama is over, at least from a trade standpoint.
Yeah, if Russell Wilson's your quarterback, you're about as set as quarterback at that position as you can get. And I jokingly say all the time that the backup quarterback to Russell Wilson is the most boring job in sports, because your uniform is going to be clean and your fingers are going to be sore from holding that clipboard so long. And that's a tribute to Wilson and his durability and his willingness to play through some pain and toughness. So if all signs are pointing to him playing for the Seattle Seahawks in 2021, beyond that, that's a story for another day. But yeah, I do think it is a little interesting that they haven't restructured. I think that's, if someone asked me, why haven't they restructured yet? That the first thing that would pop up to me is, shoot, I mean, is it totally off the table that they could move him? That's the only thing that would really come to mind. But yeah, quarterback is pretty set. Clearly they have some other needs. So let's assume Russell Wilson's the quarterback, and there are other positions where they're pretty set too. Now that Chris Carson's back into the fold, I would argue that running back is another one that's pretty darn set. You're bringing back basically your unit from last year minus Carlos Hyde. So I think with a healthy Chris Carson, again, you're in Rashad Penny is still looking to validate that first round selection. Another position right there, running back, that seems pretty set.
Yeah, I don't see the Seahawks drafting a running back because they've already got five of them on their roster. Alex Collins was re-signed as well. You've got DJ Dallas, Travis Homer, who were both picked in the last two drafts. So I think Seattle's going to be happy with the depth and the talent they have in the backfield. To me, on offense, that is the one position group that is truly set, aside from quarterback, with Russell Wilson under center. To me, the quarterback and running back situation has been set. Most of the offensive line, to me, has been set as well. I do have one position that I still think the Seahawks are going to continue looking to see if they can find an upgrade. Re-signing Ethan Posick for a one-year, $3 million contract, that is not a commitment that necessarily screams, he's our starter in 2021. That's the type of money that teams pay for swing guards and centers as well. And I think ultimately that's what the Seahawks would like Ethan Posick to be, because you got to see last year, he had some solid games, but he also had some games where he really struggled. I don't know how much better he's going to get and if he can be a long-term starting center in the National Football League. He doesn't have enough power. He has too many times where he gets bullied in the run game. I just haven't seen enough that suggests to me that he's suddenly going to become reliable in that regard. His pass protection was hit and miss last season. This is a really good center class in the draft. And I know Seattle has like negative picks at this point, but with the three selections that they actually have, they have a second rounder. If they even if they trade down, to get a third round pick and recoup a later pick or two, you can probably still get a really solid center. That's how good this class is at that position group. And so I don't know that they're going to sign any more veterans that can compete against Posick, but I could definitely see that first pick being used on a center next month and potentially picking a player that can right away beat out Ethan Posick in a competition. I think with Gabe Jackson coming to town and the other starters they've brought back, the rest of the offensive line to me is in good shape, but center is one spot I think an upgrade is still needed.
Yeah, to me, that contract for Posick spells out H-E-D-G-E. It's a hedge. I think that's security in case things fall through at the center position in the draft. I think that they are going to look at the draft. And there is a couple centers out there in free agency. Austin Ryder is one from Kansas City that I had my eyes on earlier. You know, when you're looking at all the chips that are falling at center, the studs, the blue chips started falling, which they have. Austin Ryder was a guy that I thought if the dust settles and he's still available, maybe take a look, which he's still there. Won a Super Bowl block for Patrick Mahomes in a pretty explosive offense. I think that he's still got some good miles in those tires. But I think the draft is one. Josh Myers is a guy I wrote about, and I really like him. And I think he'll be available when the Seahawks pick or close to that. I just think Posick's a stopgap. But for me, another one is I would love a third wide receiver, and that doesn't count tight ends. I think the Seahawks are also pretty set at tight end with Gerald Everett coming into the fold. At receiver, I think there's another one they can look at in the draft. You got, your Frank Darby's, your Shai Smith, Amon-Ra St. Brown's, Rondale Moore's. I know you're really big on Rondale Moore. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, I didn't realize this. Sammy Watkins, unless I'm missing something, he's 28 years old. Why does it feel like he's been in the NFL for 10 years?
Because he basically has been.
I saw him as a list. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's probably like 35. He's 28? So, yeah, he's definitely played a lot and got a high pitch count, so to speak. But he's not even 28 years old. So maybe a guy like Sammy Watkins you take a look at. Golden Tate I've seen around the social media. That'd be kind of funny to bring Golden Tate back. So I think the third wide receiver is one to look at. Obviously, you're not going to look to break the bank with your third wide receiver, especially with arguably one of the best 1-2 combos in any receiving core and all around the league in Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. And then you have a solid tight end room as well. So maybe that tight end entity, as it were, could be your third receiver. But I would love a true wide receiver. What or third receiver? What we hoped Philip Dorsett would have turned out to be, what David Moore looked like at times. I think you want to keep looking for that third guy.
This is a really good draft to get receivers. Again, the downside is the Seahawks don't have very many picks, but even that second rounder, if the right guy is available, I can see the Seahawks pulling the trigger, especially with Tyler Lockett having only 1 year left on his contract. They do need to get an upgrade of the number three receiver spot. I do think, and I wrote an article about this yesterday, I think Freddie Swain is a player that the Seahawks are very excited about his potential. I don't know that he is your number three guy this year. Maybe you bring in another veteran, but he was very productive when he had the football in his hands last year. The limited opportunities, he caught 13 out of 19 targets last year. He averaged almost 8 yards after the catch per reception last year, which in a limited sample size per Pro Football Focus for players with 15 or more targets, that was the fourth highest amongst receivers last year. And so he proved he could do damage with the football in his hands. And that's something the Seahawks have not really been good at for the last 3 or 4 years. And so I do think there's some optimism that Freddie Swain could maybe eventually be that number three guy. I just don't know if he's ready to be that guy in 2021. And so that's why bringing in another veteran, there still are some good guys in the market. T.Y. Hilton did go back to the Colts, so he's no longer an option. But there are some quality veteran receivers that are still out there available. In the draft, you could get somebody that maybe they can come in and contribute. Maybe they won't. We've seen with the Seahawks receivers, as much as other positions in the draft, it's a crapshoot whether those guys are going to produce on day one or not. So for every DK Metcalf, there's Chris Harper's. And Seahawks have had plenty of those over the years. Just don't pick a receiver in the fourth round and you'll be okay. Yeah, it's a cardinal rule the Seahawks should always stick with based on their history under John Schneider and Pete Carroll. But I agree with you. A third receiver, I think at tight end, they're pretty well set with Gerald Everett, Colby Parkinson, Will Disley coming back. They like Tyler Mabry too. So you've got four guys that should be good fits in Shane Waldron's system. So I think overall, when you look at this offense, I think they've addressed most of the positions they need to. I think if you can get an upgrade at center in the draft specifically. And if you can get a number three receiver, if you can get a quality veteran, or you use one of your draft picks at that position to add another talented wideout to the fold for Russell Wilson, then I think Seattle should be pretty happy about their offense. They're stacked at the running back position. The line looks pretty darn good with Gabe Jackson coming in. And I like the tight end group a lot. I think Gerald Everett has a chance to really blow up in this offense without Tyler Higbee being in front of him. And I think that Shane Waldron's going to be able to find ways to get the football to him. He's a really athletic guy with good hands, breaks a lot of tackles. And so there's a lot to be excited about this unit, but there's still a couple clear areas where they need to continue focusing, trying to find ways with limited resources to upgrade those positions. When we come back for the third quarter, we're going to flip over to the defense. That's been where most of the activity has happened in recent days. Still could see some more movement on that side of the ball, though, in coming weeks as free agency continues and the draft approaches. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate in all bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup for Blue Friday is Cookie Dough Chunk versus Birthday Cake. Two really good flavors. I got to roll, though, with the birthday cake on this one. Most of my Locked On brethren, not big fans, but it truly tastes like birthday cake, and it's glorious. I think it takes the victory here to advance in our Built Bar tournament. Go to BuiltBar.com or to @bar_built on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best-tasting protein bar. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Blue Friday edition. This is Corbin Smith, joined by my co-host, Nick Lee. The NFL draft is weeks away. It's time to start following our Locked On NFL draft duo. The Draft Dudes podcast watches every prospect so that you don't have to. And the Locked On NFL Draft podcast is your daily draft news and mock draft podcast. Follow Locked On NFL Draft and Draft Dudes on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. Continuing our roster reset, last quarter we were looking at the offensive side of the football. Most of the moves in free agency, though, have been made on the defensive side of the football. At least a lot of the speculation has happened on that side. We've seen Carlos Dunlap re-sign. We've seen Kerry Hyder come over from San Francisco. Benson Mayoa is back, so they've really been addressing that defensive line. They signed Akilah Witherspoon to replace Shaquille Griffin, potentially, in the secondary. I think when you look at the front line with Jaron Reed on his way out, there may be some questions about the depth of the defensive tackle position. But overall, I think this defensive line is shaping up to be a very solid one for next season, especially the defensive end positions. Really good depth at both spots.
Yeah, the defensive line, I think, is turning into the one of the stronger units on this defense or on this team. Like I mentioned in the first quarter, 20 and a half sacks between the three guys you're bringing in. At Leo or the five tech. And yeah, you lose a little bit with Jaron Reed. I think that, you know, Clint Hurt, like you mentioned, I think that they could really make that up in-house. I you know, Cedric Lattimore, LJ Collier. I mean, we've talked about that already today. They can find guys that'll fill those spots, the athletic interior defensive lineman who can knife his way in there and become a pass rush threat. There are a couple guys on the market still. Guy that doesn't scream three tech athletic defensive lineman and Danny Shelton. I know people want to bring him home, but I'm not quite sure that the scheme fits there. Daquan Jones is another one that's still floating around there. And in the draft too, that there's several options, maybe up and towards the front of the draft, a guy that I really like. And I like so much, in fact, that I don't think the Seahawks are going to be able to get to pick him as Davion Nixon out of Iowa. I think he's going to be an absolute stud in the middle of that of a defensive line and going to make an NFL team very happy. But if he happens to fall to the Seahawks' laps, I think that would be a great addition to this already pretty fierce defensive line. So I think that's probably where they're pretty set. Obviously, as long as, you know, Bobby Wagner's pretty healthy, set at middle linebacker, and even if you don't bring back KJ Wright, which I think is still a big possibility, and Corbin, you tweeted that out, that's a very big possibility still. Jordan Brooks, you got to feel like is a really, really good option to replace him. And, you know, he is the heir apparent to one or both or you can't play two, but or one of those. He's an heir apparent to one of Bobby Wagner or KJ Wright. And I think he's athletic enough to, you know, to play both of those positions or you know, whoever leaves first. But for me, what sticks out still, besides the interior line with Jaren Reed going out, his corner. Akella Witherspoon, I loved him in the draft. He's had a pretty underwhelming career. I know he kind of started gaining traction late last year. But, man, I don't know. I'm a sentimental guy. I have a lot of memorabilia. I just love to hang on to the past. I would love a Richard Sherman reunion. I know that he's still, when he's healthy, he's shown that he plays at a still pretty high level. And I'm wondering if you put Richard Sherman on this defense on the 2021 Seahawks, is he the best cornerback on the roster? I have a hard time arguing otherwise.
Yeah, Rob and I talked about this on yesterday's show because Tom Pelissero of NFL Network reported that Richard Sherman was open to a reunion, and it sounds like the team would be open. There's some mutual interest here. Again, this is not an Earl Thomas type situation. I don't think the door has been slammed shut on him ever coming back. Richard Sherman, now being a free agent at this stage of his career, is still a solid player, and I think he's evolved into a mentor at this stage. And you look at how young some of the corners are in Seattle, and he's worked with Witherspoon in San Francisco, so you could keep those two together. There's a chance those could be your two starters on the outside in 2021, and then you could move DJ Reed into the slot. I mean, you'd have three former 49ers in your secondary as your corners, and it'd be a better unit than what you've had. And so while it sounds good, I still think the money is going to be the thing that prevents that from happening. There's still the possibility Quentin Dunbar could be brought back. He's going to be much cheaper, clearly not getting interest on the market, or he would have signed somewhere at this point. So there's a possibility there. And, of course, the draft. I love this draft for long athletic corners. There's a lot of them. I don't know how many of these players are going to be ready to play significant snaps right away, but the Seahawks have never been afraid to put rookies into the lineup. We saw it with Trey Flowers. This group has a lot of athletic corners that fit the physical mold and play style that Pete Carroll prefers on the outside. So I'd be surprised if they're not adding at least one corner next month in the draft to this mix as well. I could see him signing Richard Sherman and drafting a corner because Sherman's only got 2 years left. That's what he's told several people in the media. He wants to play two more seasons, hopefully win one more Super Bowl. Why not do it back in Seattle? So fans can continue to dream about that. Maybe it ends up becoming a reality. I just think the money's going to make it difficult. Other options are more plausible. I think the safety position, Seattle's in pretty good shape too. You're going to get Marquise Blair back from his torn ACL. Ugo Amadi can play there as well as slot corner. Ryan Neal's back. And of course, you've got Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs as your starter. I do have some questions about what they're going to do there from 2022 and beyond, because Diggs is entering the last year of his contract and Blair's got 2 years left on his deal. There's going to be some tough decisions looming there at the safety spot. But I think for now, they're in pretty good shape. The only players they'll be adding are undrafted free agents that'll come in to compete for special team snaps. I don't see any other major moves happening there. To me, defensive tackle, maybe in the draft, guys like Cam Sample and Darius Stills out of West Virginia. Those are two guys in the middle rounds that I think could really be nice fits to help replace Jaren Reed. But aside from defensive tackle and corner, those are the two positions that the Seahawks need to upgrade still and look for options in free agency as well as the draft. Otherwise, I think this defense is pretty well set too going into the season. There's going to be more moves, but you can see the plan for John Schneider and Pete Carroll is really starting to come together.
Yeah, well, I was mentioning before we started the show, it's the picture is getting a little clearer. You know, you tap on the screen on your phone and things start to focus a little bit more. And I think that's kind of where we're getting at with this offseason. And what's nice about this roster, and, you know, this is what makes the Seahawks, you know, perennial contender, at least for a playoff spot. You look at this roster and you go, you know, it would be nice to add someone here, you know, maybe a little depth there. But there's no position where if you go, oh, man, if we don't add someone right here, we are screwed. There's no position right now that screams that. I think the biggest one. Yeah, that's it. That's it. And, you know, and if Posick, you know, is forced into action week one and is the starting center, I don't think that's a catastrophe. I don't think we have like a Joey Hunt getting eaten alive by Aaron Donald situation. I think he can hold his own for, you know, 55-60% of the games.
It's not Drew Nowak either.
Yeah. So I think that's the most glaring need. I think overall on this team, I think that they really need to hone in on center for the draft. But other than that, yeah, there's not a position that just jumps out at me like, oh goodness, we need to figure this out or we're going to lose some ball games because of this. I think the Seahawks overall, you really can start to see the plan come together and really build the roster. And I still think this is a solid playoff team.
Yeah, I think when you look at what the rest of the NFC West has done, it's going to be an absolute gauntlet. But as long as Russell Wilson is happy, and he's been tweeting how happy he is about a lot of these moves here in recent days. So I would think that he's getting satisfied. He's been satisfied by a number of these moves that John Schneider and Pete Carroll have made here over the last week or so. And so that bodes well for this team. They still are the defending NFC West champs. They're still going to be a very solid football team. And they have a chance to still add a couple more pieces in free agency and the draft. There are going to be some more cap structure related moves that will be made to try to fill out this roster in coming weeks. And so we'll see what they end up doing. But now we've got a pretty good idea what their main priorities were going into this process. And they've been able to execute a lot of it down to a T, making the roster look pretty solid already heading into the 2021 season. You can follow me on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. You can follow Nick at Nick Lee51. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcasts, by checking out our website, LockedOnSeahawks.com. When I return on Monday, Rob Rang will be joining me for Mock Draft Monday. Once again, on social media, we will be dishing out a few instructions for you guys to submit a mock draft or two for our Monday show. We'll read through a couple of them as we get closer to the 2021 NFL Draft. Enjoy your weekend. Go Hawks.